verifying.
The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
That's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hey, welcome in. It's a Monday. Hope you're all well. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, Scotty?
I'm good.
Man, it's a great day, isn't it? Beautiful weather out there. Nice 30, 35 degrees. The sun in our face. We're sitting up here in the bird's nest in the homie offices, overlooking the beautiful landscapes of Utah.
There'll be about two times over the next 3 hours where you and I will look at each other like, is it another earthquake? We've been doing shows here for years, and ever since the infamous earthquake of a couple of years ago, there's the train that comes through, and then you and I look at each other like, oh.
Every time the train rumbles it a little bit. And I don't know why my stomach sinks. You remember we were in our Vivint Arena.
We felt
studios,
a good one. Yeah.
Which is five floors up.
Yeah.
And we felt a pretty nice aftershock.
Yeah.
And that was not fun. I think Jake Hatch was in the studio when the bigger one.
Yeah, he was in when the big one hit, and he's texting me and Lloyd saying, "Hey, you know, because all of us felt earthquake," and he's like, "I'm leaving right now," and I'm like,
"Oh,
get your butt up there! We all went through it. It's fine. What's your problem?" And then we were in for just a little aftershock, and then we're like, "Okay,
hey, I think we ought to leave.
I need to go apologize to Jake."
And
because
if
what we just went through was an aftershock, I can't imagine what it was like for him in that building.
Yeah, it was unnerving, but love being here at Homie. We're going to talk about their amazing service and some of the great offers that they have for today. We've got some special stuff going down, so we'll talk about that. But how was your weekend?
You know what? It was a nice, uneventful weekend with tons of football. Just jam-packed football. Didn't have a game. So just watched a lot of football, got caught up on a couple things around the house, and watched a lot of football. Did I mention I watched a lot of football?
A lot of football.
And it was all spectacular.
It was all worth everything.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't have any viewer's remorse.
None.
Even as a Broncos fan.
I would have loved to have seen the Bills hold on and beat the Chiefs, but.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I was thinking I was hoping that the Bucs would hold on and find a way to advance, but it just was crazy how all those things shook out. It still is a little bit hard for me to believe how everything went down.
Every game, either you had three games finished with a last-second field goal, you had one game finished with a touchdown in overtime, you got people grumpy about overtime rules, you got all kinds of stuff going on. It's you can't ask for much more in a sports weekend than that.
And we got a lot to talk about, and that's probably where we'll start. I know we got some Jazz stuff, but nothing else, huh?
How about you?
It was an incredible weekend.
How was the fishing?
Incredible. How'd you know what fishing?
It's a weekend. You always go ice fishing.
Yeah.
Saturday
morning.
When don't you
fish?
Like
4 o'clock in the morning. You know, you got to get up, get your gear, head up to the mountains. Had a blast. I love ice fishing. But this weekend was crazy. You know, got out to the Jazz-Detroit game.
Yeah.
And watched the revenge victory, which was awesome.
Still closer than it should have been.
It was. Detroit kept it close. And Cunningham was a beast again. He's a really good player, but the Jazz found a way to close that one out. And Saturday night, I was getting ready to watch the UFC fights. I was going to watch the Ngannou fight and catch the UFC. And my brother-in-law happens to have access to Kevin Hart's shows. Did you know Kevin Hart was here last night?
Lloyd, you
or
didn't get
Saturday night?
You didn't get him on?
Oh, yeah.
I tried.
Oh. I actually told the story of our awkward moment in exchange when you announced, huge surprise guest for our listeners right now on air.
Okay, I didn't say it.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I did not say it. I said, because I didn't believe it when Lloyd said it in my ear. And so I was like, Lloyd, why don't you tell me, why don't you tell the audience, the big guest we got going? He's like, yeah, we got Matt Harpering. What's the big deal? I'm like, oh, well, that could have been a lot worse for me, that's for sure.
Because Lloyd said into Scotty's ear, hey, Hart is ready.
And we were running liners because Kevin Hart was – we were right. doing promotion for a thing. And so we're reading a liner, and then he goes, and Hart's coming on. I'm like, oh, well, I'll be darned. Lloyd, you want
to tell
everybody?
What does Kevin Hart have to do with Utah Jazz basketball?
Well,
I mean, come matter. On. Hans broke Jay Moore's leg in a sports show once. I mean, like
– No. I'm actually making a joke. I'm making a bowling joke here.
Oh, okay.
We had to dump Gilbert Godfrey on our show one time. I mean, we've had some random guests for sure. Gilbert Godfrey. I still can't believe him. What he said on the show. Lloyd, were you...
I don't think I've heard this story before.
Were you producing, Lloyd?
I think I was.
I don't know this story.
When Gilbert Godfrey... So Gilbert Godfrey was here in... Well, it was in studio down at the old Charlie Square Studios.
Yeah.
And we were advertising.
Back when our guy, Keith Stubbs would bring in comedians, yeah.
So Gilbert comes into studio to do a little advertising, and John Lund was my co-host at the time. And John Lund said, who was the most beautiful, actress that you've worked with over the years? And... I'm not even going to hint to it. I'm just going to tell you what he said in response to that question was high-level disgusting. And you know Lund. And even Lund looked at me and looked. I think Lloyd was back there and did the throat cut, like cut his mic. And then the dump.
Yeah.
Dumped that, cut his mic. And we did. And John said, that's – and then he said, hey, that's about it. Thank you. And – he was gone. And it was like, I can't believe what just happened with the Geico Duck guy.
You know, that's the one guy where that's why you always need
Affleck Duck.
Yeah, that's why you always need somebody to have your back on social media. Like you, me, and Lloyd, when we get a little salty on Twitter or we have a tweet that we want to send out, we're like, ooh, this will be a good one. And then you send it to your buddies and they're like, don't send that.
Yeah.
Well, Gilbert Gottfried's making like seven figures. All he has to do is go into a studio and yell Aflac. That's it. He's making millions of dollars just saying Aflac on a commercial. He sends out a dumb tweet and he gets blown up and loses
that.
It all.
And I remember what it was about. It was about the tsunamis.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that was just soon after what he did on our show. And I still can't believe what he did on our show. We've had a lot of comedians on over the years. Ralphie May came on. Ralphie May said some inappropriate things. I think the comedians just like to push the envelope.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're in local radio. What's anybody going to do to them?
Yeah.
These guys are the ones going to get in trouble. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'll just roll out. I'll be fine.
Let me tell you, Kevin Hart was good, man. He's funny.
So you went to it live?
Yeah.
Nice. Good for you. Where was that? That Wise Guys?
Kingsbury.
Oh, Kingsbury. Oh, that's right. I did see that.
Yeah. I had no idea that he was in town. And it just kind of all came together. So we went out for a late night show, and what a treat, man. You sit back and listen to Kevin Hart. So he's just working on new material. Like, I guess he's just going to these smaller venues and trying new things just to see what sticks and what doesn't stick and what's funny. There were a couple of things that was like, that's not going to stick. That's not real funny. But there were a couple of things that was like, that is really funny.
Yeah, I could see that. Be like, okay, well, cross that out. Won't use that. Won't use that. We'll use that.
It was the first time I've ever in my life being checked in had my cell phone confiscated. They took every single person.
Oh, because you can't have any video.
Yeah, because it's all exploratory material.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you think Utah should really be the barometer for Kevin Hart? It's a little bit more conservative here.
No, I don't think it should. And believe me, Lloyd, he didn't conserve at all. I think the reasons that they take the phone, number one, when we were walking in and we were putting our phones in these contraptions that it's a magnetic lock. And I was like, doesn't this feel a little excessive? And the guy goes, well, if you want to remain important to Netflix, this is what it takes. Because the material that he's up there using, he wants to keep it quiet until the big shows. Because then he'll start doing his stadium tours.
Yeah.
And then he'll take the material of what was successful in the little parts and then use it. And I kind of understood that.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense.
Yeah. You actually give up your phone, huh?
I did. I put it in this little this mechanical, like, I don't know. It's a pretty fancy contraption.
Did the guy take the phone and be like, huh, it's like going back in time a little bit.
It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit in his... You still have a brick phone. How about this?
Hey, I'm going to play Snake today.
Yeah, instead of putting this in the contraption, I'll
play a little solitaire.
Build a house with it. Does it have Tetris?
All right, busy show. Let's get to it. Starting lineup right now, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup. Starting lineup on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We'll try to win it here from 45. Pepper snap is a little high, pulled down by Wisnowski. Robbie Gould has it away, and it is good! Robbie Gould has kicked the 49ers to victory here in Green Bay.
The golden leg of Robbie Gould going to an NFC championship game. The Packers 3 years in a row now have been put out.
Clark Harris will snap it back to Kevin Huber for the win. The snap, the put down, the swing of the right leg.
Yeah, baby.
It's on its way.
Yeah, baby.
It is good.
Yeah.
Coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam. That is unbelievable. And the Bengals advance to the Final Four AFC Championship game, Dan.
Matt Gay, with 4 seconds on the clock, will attempt a 30-yard field goal from the left hash. Hits it with the right foot. Kick on its way. It is through. It is good. Matt Gay brings it home. Los Angeles will host the NFC Championship game next Sunday at SoFi Stadium. 30-27 is the final. What did we just witness?
36-36 tie in overtime. Chiefs first down and goal to go. Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking. Right side he wants. And a comeback cut. It is caught by Kelsey. Touchdown, Kansas City. One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelsey on a push fake comeback. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
Starting lineup brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors, Utah's premier window and door retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 93.
That is unrealism right there.
That is unrealism what they can do for you. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. That is unrealism.
Unrealism.
Hey, look.
The guy said unrealism.
As someone who has been known to invent a word or two from time to time, I give the guy a little bit of leeway, but come on, that's a big time call. Plus, shut up. If I'm that play-by-play guy, I'm losing my mind. Holy smoke, shut your mouth and let your guy make the call.
All of those calls, I thought the Chiefs call was pretty good, but the other three, it was atrocious. That was
these are supposed
calls
to be the best of the best.
No, those were train wreck calls. Horrible. I'm still a little bit shocked that the color analyst just sat there and stomped all over it. At some point, you're like, hey, let me just get the call. Let me set the scene, and then you can be the loudmouth buffoon.
Ooh, man, I'd be hot.
Just hold me 5 seconds. Just let me call one of the greatest wins in this franchise's history, and then you can tell us what happened. But don't be like, this is a, like, explain it.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my gosh, it's frustrating.
That is unrealism right there.
That is unprofessionalism. That's what it is. So, Scotty, so tell me, what was the game that was the biggest
most interesting? Man, you can go through the list. To me, it's got to be the Kansas City game against Buffalo.
Putting all your biases aside.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, 13 seconds left. And the fact that, you know, Buffalo goes down a 4th and 14. They get a touchdown, and then Kansas City answers right back. And then another drive by Josh Allen to go down and get the touchdown with 13 seconds left. And you're just thinking, all right, they did it. They went to Arrowhead, and they just knocked off the two-time defending AFC champions. And I don't know what – I mean, we can go X's and O's on this a little bit on what Kansas City should have done. Frankly, I just have my DBs just tackle every wide receiver out on the field. Just tackle them. You get a 5-yard holding penalty. You lose time on the clock. Give them 5 yards, and then do it again on the next play. And then do it again on the next play.
Yeah.
You know, it's just – it to me, it's just – it was unreal. But the problem is, and I know we'll spend some time – there's so many things to talk about here. You go the overtime, and I tweeted out on the coin toss, this is the biggest coin toss in NFL playoff history.
Yeah, because you knew.
Because whoever – the way that game was going, whoever won the coin toss was going to win that game.
Josh Allen would have done the same thing.
Exactly.
Mahomes did.
Josh Allen would have marched.
The defenses were worn out.
Just dead.
Yeah.
Just dead.
And the offenses looked spry.
Yeah.
They looked like they were just starting a game. So – yeah, I totally agree with that. I actually saw your tweet, and I thought, man, that's poignant. It was very on point, because whoever got that coin toss, there was a high percentage chance they were going to go win it. So 13 seconds left. You know, first of all, when the Bills go in and score, when they took it, was they got it with a minute. They had three timeouts in a minute. Three timeouts in a minute went the length of a field for a touchdown. At that point, and left 13 seconds on the clock. At that point, I'd have put $20,000. That game's over.
Yeah.
You know, 13 seconds. Was it one timeout or 13 seconds and two timeouts?
I think they had all three. They only used two.
They had all three?
Yeah.
So 13 seconds, three timeouts. Even with Patrick Mahomes, I'm still thinking it's 13 seconds. You know, we watched – Prescott try to run for field position with 13 seconds on the clock or 15 seconds.
Yeah.
It was either 13 or 15 seconds. One play took all that time. One play. Now, I know they didn't have the timeout. I totally get that. But in your mind, you're picturing Kansas City letting that ball kick out of the back of the end zone, taking it, you know, taking the yardage and thinking to yourself, 13 seconds, I don't care how many timeouts, 13 seconds, you're not going to get yourself in a field goal position in that time. You can't. And they did. And then they kicked the field goal with a kicker that missed one at the end of the first half. And you're thinking, well, this guy could shank it. And he didn't. He hit it. It was unbelievable. And then, of course, the drive in overtime was incredible. The Chiefs-Bills game, you're right, it was the biggest game. The Rams-Bucks game, I think, has a lot more controversy. I think that the controversy of the overtime with the Chiefs and Bills, people wanting to see
Josh Allen get a crack at it.
The Bills have an opportunity. I totally get that, and I actually want to jump back to that here in a second. But this Rams-Bucks game, for these defenses – allowing, and both, one for the Bucks and one for the Rams, allowing the offense to get behind them in these critical moments was so high level unacceptable. And there was one moment in particular, and there's a comment in particular that I wanted to go after just a little bit. So Bruce Arians was asked after the game about his zero coverage, basically saying, do you regret that? Basically asking him, you know, do you regret that? Are you upset with your defensive coordinator for the call? This is what Bruce Arians said. He said, some guys didn't blitz. I don't know if they didn't get the call, but it was an all-out blitz. We should have gotten a ton of pressure. Okay, so Bruce is trying to defend his defensive coordinator. First of all, a cover zero with Cooper Kupp on the field and Stafford, who is a quick release and quick vision guy, it's insanity to me. And I thought Matt Stafford's comments actually made Bruce Arians look ridiculous. Because Matthew Stafford, after the game, he said, in the play before, I felt the pressure. I felt the pressure as soon as they started to crowd, I felt the pressure. He knew it was a zero blitz. And if you watch his release, look, I've rushed 1,000 quarterbacks. I've tried to get to a quarterback a million times on zero blitz or otherwise. And when a quarterback takes two steps, gets to his third and launches because he recognizes the zero coverage. And for those of you that don't understand zero coverage, it's very simple. They just take the safeties out of the backfield.
Yeah.
And they put either an extra linebacker or an extra safety into the pass rush. They try to get 6 to 7 guys to the quarterback depending on how many wideouts that they've got running down the field. That's all zero coverage is. And so you've got Tampa Bay that calls a zero coverage defense with Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford, a fantastic connection on the field with zero time left and no timeouts. They didn't have any timeouts.
No.
And Stafford recognizes it, launches it before the pressure can get there, and go watch the film. His guys blitzed.
Yeah.
Everybody that was an available blitzer blitzed. So I don't know where he's coming from with that comment. Why don't you just say, we gambled. We gambled.
We gambled and
we lost.
Yeah.
Would you make
and Stafford took a hit on that too, didn't he?
I don't think he did.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought he was able to launch it and then get a hit after.
Maybe a swipe nothing like, bam, nothing like I stood in there, stepped up, and he just launched it. And, you know, I've watched it about 20 times this morning. I'm like, okay, what is he talking about? What is Bruce Arians talking about? Because there's not an available blitzer that didn't blitz. Unless you're saying that you're going to let one wideout run completely free without a press.
Hey, I got a scheme for you.
Yeah, we're gonna
bring that corner off the edge. Well, are you bringing the safety up? No. He's coming too.
Who's over Cooper Kupp? Hey, if you're over Cooper, make sure you come in on the rush. But, I would handle it differently. Bruce Arians, he's always rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, I don't know
what it is about something.
I don't hate Bruce Arians not being part of the playoffs anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
And I love the comeback. I mean, it was classic Tom Brady coming back and having an opportunity to get that thing into OT. I mean, it was funny because I'm sitting there watching that game with my boys, and we're just like, this is crazy. And then this is crazy. And then that game ends, and then you transition to the next game, which was even more bizarre. I mean, it was a weekend of weird college football, or of NFL football, but certainly a lot of calls and a lot of moments you can look at and go, what was that? What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. For Evans to get behind the Rams defense.
Yeah.
You know, what they scored in 30 seconds? What was that, two or three plays in 30 seconds with that bomb to Evans?
Correct.
And you're looking at Tampa, but the Rams dominated that first half. I thought that game was over. I thought the way the Rams were playing defense, they were hitting Tom Brady more than I think I've ever seen Tom Brady get hit.
Yeah.
And we'll get into the Tom Brady scenario coming up and what you may have missed, because obviously the Buccaneers are eliminated, and that means Tom Brady questions abound. But watching Tom Brady get hit and watching him slowly get up and watching him have a bloody face, which you saw a million times, because there's something about networks. When they sink their teeth into something, networks are just going to milk it and bleed it and make y'all hate it. And there was something about that game where it was like, geez.
Well, there's I think Tom Brady can – look, you're not going to win a Super Bowl, obviously, but I do think you can ride off in the sunset with a crazy opportunity. You came back, you tied a game up. And you had every opportunity to win that game, and then your defense let you down. And so I think it gives Brady an excuse to say, you know what, I got beat up. Did you see? I got a little bit of blood on my face, too. I can't do that. This face is way too pretty to have blood on it.
Way too pretty.
And so I'm stepping away. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I'm 50-50 on it. I won't be surprised either way if he comes back or if he shuts it down.
So Bills-Chiefs goes into overtime, and I'm hoping you and I get a full segment to talk about overtime in this Bills-Chiefs game. If the Rams and Buccaneers go to overtime, similar? Coin toss wins?
Same thing?
Because both those quarterbacks were moving.
Yeah. I think at that point it was – whoever wins a coin toss is going to win that game.
Because the defense is – I don't know where the Rams defense went for a bit.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Eric Weddle made me real nervous for just a minute.
I know. I thought that was going to be a first down.
Until I saw it was a non-possession.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
I had a tweet and I was sending it out like, wow, the game's really changed in 2 years.
Oh, man.
Like, oh, nope, he's good.
I was so nervous for a guy. You know, because he goes over there, and he puts the pop on it, and it was an unnecessary pop. But
you can't take that out of Eric. That's who he is.
It's who he is. And you were going to tweet out the games change. I'm glad you didn't tweet that.
And how, by the way, in that play, was there enough evidence to even move that an inch? They moved it closer.
By the way, that wasn't a knock on Eric. It was just a knock on how the game has evolved.
Oh, absolutely.
Even over the last 2 years.
Absolutely. Lloyd, they thought they reviewed the spot on it, right?
Well, they did to see if it was a first down, but they also said on the broadcast that they moved it up like a foot. And I'm like, how could you even see that could be, there was no way you could move that any with those views.
I don't know. I was watching the replay that you're talking about, Lloyd. And I don't know.
From an angle, right?
From an angle.
Right.
He was close to a hash.
I thought so.
And so I'm wondering if they gauged it off the hash. I'd agree. I mean, it's difficult to say it's inconclusive.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We got so much to break down today. Thurl Bailey will join us at 105 talking about the Utah Jazz. We'll talk about the Jazz next. Heart-wrenching loss last night to Golden State that was there for the taking. Also, Frank Schwab will join us coming up at 2:05. But we are hanging out today, out and about. We are live here at Homey, and Katie's kind enough to join us right now. Katie, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Fantastic. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you guys.
We are so excited to continue to bring the message of Homey to the state of Utah. You know how much I love this place, and you know how much Homey means to me. And I'm excited to really introduce people to Homey and everything that Homey brings to the table. But I want to start with this, Katie. And I know that I could toot the horn a little bit, but I want you to kind of toot the horn a little bit because I was sent some of the bullet points. Talk about some of the money that Homey saved just in the year 2021.
Yeah, I mean, we're in brand new year 2022, and so getting to look back at seeing everybody that we helped over the past year, and so we've helped over 4,000 families in all of our markets. So we're in 5 markets. We're in Utah, we're in Idaho, we're in Colorado, Arizona, Nevada, and we've helped save over $33 million in commissions. All of that equity is staying in the pockets of all of our homeowners, and we're just so grateful that we had a chance to be able to help them. And 4,000 people, that's not a small number that have been able to save money while using Homey.
So I get to raise my hand and say I was a part of that 30-plus million. My parents get to raise their hand. They were a part of that 30-plus million. We get to see it firsthand. I've used Homey loans. We've used Homey on the sell side. We've used Homey through all processes of identifying properties, and it's incredible what you guys have built, how much money you're saving people. And that was the true goal. Am I correct, Katie? In building Homey, it was to save people money.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at the way real estate was done 20 years ago, it's changed so dramatically thanks to technology and thanks to everything that we have now. And so being able to say, okay, look, we've changed the way we're doing real estate, but why haven't we changed the way we're paying our agents? So you're not only saving money on the listing side with Homey, you're also saving money on the buy side, and that's in part of that $33 million. And you're also saving money on the loan side. I know that you've gone through Homey loans, and I've gone through Homey loans, and we've been able to save money throughout the whole entire process, creating this one-stop shop here and making sure that our mission is to keep equity where it belongs and to make sure that homeownership is easy, accessible, and affordable for all.
It all begins with Homey.com. That's Homie.com. Homey.com. Again, so many different avenues for you to save a ton of money. It's your equity. You should keep it. Go to Homey.com. That's Homey.com right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Good luck next week, Warriors, Suns, and Suns. Wow.
Good times, right?
Right?
Good times. The schedule is what it is, but what better time to really put our team to the test? And if we're not going to lock in, you're about to get punched in the face a couple more times, so you've got to be ready. And if we're not ready, it'll quite clearly show against these next few teams. In the past, we've been a bit more lackadaisical against teams we're supposed to win, quote unquote, and bring it against teams that were better than us or ranked higher than us. We're not going to just walk in and beat any team in this league. And I think that's quite clearly shown recently. We need to be better, and we know that. And, yeah, we've got to be ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Live out and about today. We're live here at Homie. Go to homie.com, H-O-M-I-E.com. You know what it is. You've been there. Now's the time to make it happen. You got a lot of equity in your home. You want to keep it. Don't mess around with that stuff. Let's go.
If I were to tell you that the Golden State Warriors would have an 11-point fourth quarter against the Jazz, wouldn't you thought,
turn out the lights, the party's over.
No Klay Thompson. If I said, okay, here's the deal, Scotty, no Klay Thompson, an 11-point fourth quarter, how does this thing turn out? Be a Jazz win.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Even without Donovan Mitchell.
Yep.
11-point fourth quarter. Golden State was off their game. Big time off their game. But they got a boost. Poole was awesome. Now, I'll tell you, the play by Looney, that's what got me. And if you look at that play where he gets the ball, puts it up hard, gets the and one, hits the extra point with about a minute, about a minute 40?
Yeah.
Left in that game. At that point, I'm like, what happened there? Like, how do you allow that to happen in that moment? So there were some things that were really frustrating just watching the Jazz in the closing minutes. But for them to have an opportunity to hoist a last-second three to win that game, I mean, it was good for them to be in that moment.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you can take that away from it a little bit. You had the Steph Curry that looked like, I mean, Steph Curry from that shot, you think, oh, he's going to hit that, you're going to be down five, and the game's going to be over. Misses it, you get the rebound, you push it, and anybody calling for a timeout there is a complete moron. You run the play, and you got a great look. I mean, you got two great looks. You can't draw up anything coming out of a timeout any better than that. You got Boyan with a good look from three, didn't go, and then you had the tip in that should have sent it into overtime.
Well, see, a timeout allows a defense to draw things up.
Yes.
Instead of things happening organically. But I liked the possession. I liked who took the shot with Donovan off the court.
Correct. All of this.
I like the fact that they even had an opportunity for a tip-in to tie it instead of taking the three for the win. And I thought the Jazz were right where they needed to be in that moment. And that three-point shot went in and rattled back out. I don't know how it even came out. I thought it was a pretty darn good shot. The loss is frustrating. What happened in the game is even more frustrating, where Bojan Bogdanović banged up his knee and Rudy Gobert hurt his calf.
Yeah.
And it was just announced that Rudy Gobert is out for the game tonight against the Phoenix Suns. So that's official.
Just listening to Rudy's comments after the game led you to believe that this is – I don't know how extensive it is, but you knew there was going to be some time when he's like, I don't know how long it's going to take. I can't give you a timeline. But when he said that, it's like, ooh. Well, those aren't great comments right there.
Where it was listed as non-severe in the recent release, it was listed as a non-severe. In fact, here, let me grab the tweet. Jazz center Rudy Gobert out tonight against the Suns due to calf strain suffered late in last night's loss against the Warriors. The strain is considered mild and isn't expected to sideline the all-NBA big man for an extended period. So it's listed as mild. You know, that's trying to figure out what the damage is. That's trying to figure out, you know, how much pain he might be in. But when it's mild and in the situation that Gobert finds himself in, I can't see it being more than 3 or 4 days. So it might be a couple games. Maybe it's three.
Sure hope so.
You know, maybe back from Memphis, but I doubt it.
I don't think so.
I doubt it. You know, and they're going to take things very slow.
I mean, looking at the amount of time they're taking on Donovan Mitchell and the concussion, and I thought it was really interesting because Quinn Snyder, I think, was very quick to – because I think Quinn understands, like, how fans and sometimes media can be. And I think Quinn took the brunt of the concussion with Donovan Mitchell, saying, look, concussions are weird. Sometimes they take a while to heal up, and essentially said the team and he himself are the ones keeping Donovan Mitchell out because they want to make sure he's completely healthy and you don't mess around with head injuries. And so I think that he understood that there might be a fire brewing with people saying, get your butt back out there on the court. And he was quick to say, essentially, this is our call as a team. This isn't Donovan Mitchell's call. And we're going to keep him out as long as we need to. And I think the Jazz, this goes back to the whole situation where the Jazz don't seem to be overly interested in being a one or a two seed going into the Western Conference playoffs, which they shouldn't be. Make sure you're as completely healthy. And that's why I think Rudy might be out a bit. Because, again, they're going to take their time. And because they've shown all year that they're willing to take their time on injuries.
You know, in this year in particular, I was thinking about this last night. In this year in particular, I don't know if there is – like as much postseason positioning as maybe there's been in the past where it's like, oh, well, we got to avoid this, this, and this. I don't know if the Jazz are looking at anything right now in the West and saying we absolutely have to avoid Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. We got to avoid that team. I don't think there's that team right now in the West or even in the NBA. So I think that the Jazz are just looking at the regular season and saying, all right, we'll just stay away from that play-in tournament. That's most important. We want to make sure that we finish at least sixth. Outside of that, we're going to take extra precaution. We're not going to push ourselves. We're going to make sure guys are healthy, but still are tuned up as much as they can be tuned up. Maybe they make a push at some point past All-Star break. But none of this surprises me. I wouldn't have been surprised to hear Bojan Bogdanovic out tonight against the Suns.
100%, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to hear Mike Conley out tonight against the Suns on the back end of a back-to-back. None of that surprises me here January 24th, 2022. Doesn't surprise me. Because I think everything that we're seeing is two things. Number one, part of what we're seeing with the pandemic and its effects. Number two, the league acknowledging that 82 games is ridiculous and that team management is much more important than a win-loss record in the regular season. That's what this is.
Yeah.
And until you accept that as an NBA fan or a fan of sports, until you accept that, then you're just going to be living and dying by every win and loss that they're not living and dying by. They're not living and dying by every win and loss. What they're looking at is, okay, what can we do that's best for our team now to make sure that we get hardware?
Yeah. But what it does do is it puts a lot of pressure on you that if you don't perform well in the playoffs, then it magnifies 100 times. Because San Antonio was the first team to really embrace load management and resting players, and it was smart for them. It extended the careers of Manu and Tim Duncan, and it was the right thing to do, and they won championships off it.
They had the right guys to do it.
Yes, exactly. So I don't blame San Antonio one bit for doing it, but if you do it and you do it extensively and you slow play a regular season in hopes of being 100% healthy, then you damn well better make a long run in that playoff.
Yeah.
Or then you got fans being like, well, you screwed us in the regular season, and then you screwed us in the postseason.
Yeah. I totally agree. It would be very frustrating as a fan to see the Jazz
and I'm not talking
do what
about,
they're doing, because this
not
is a bad
about,
losing streak.
And I'm not talking about the Jazz specifically. I'm just talking about any team in the NBA. Like, when you really go all in on load management and being careful with your players, and I understand that philosophy 100%. I'm not bagging any team, but you also understand that you got a fan base that's patient with you and saying, okay, that's fine. We get it. But we better see a little ROI when it comes postseason time.
Well, I know we always bring up the Spurs because I think that that was the most extensive. I think that that was the most apparent.
Yes.
Resting that we saw, because that's when they started talking about implementing fines, and that's when the conversations of, well, I pay $100 for a ticket to come see Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili, and instead I get the Red Rocket and Patty Mills.
Yeah.
You know, and so there was a certain amount of frustration from people, and I remember that whole thing. And yeah. Now people just, they buy the tickets and understand.
It's just
part of it.
Part of it, yeah.
But there's also something about managing some of the guys that I just talked about. You know, those guys had been in the league and they'd had rings and they understood the process. When you're trying to place 82-game management on a team that has not been to the finals, that does not have a championship, that does not have a player that has a championship. You know, Mike Conley's got himself to a Western Conference Finals, and yep. I know Mike Conley's got some postseason success, but do you really feel like management for Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert, do you really feel like it's going to work? I don't know. I'm letting the guys who are much smarter in this do what they're doing. But to your point, it's if we watch this management, we watch these guys sit out, and at the end it's a first-round exit, then we look and we say, all right, so whose decision was this? How much of it was management? Because we've watched a lot of NBA in our life, and you've watched a lot of NBA in your life. I've studied now some NBA, some past NBA, especially the Jazz in the 90s. You know, we're watching dudes miss much more time than any of that, and I know that's not the proper standard to set anything by, but what that tells us is there's management going on.
Yeah.
There's management. Yeah. This is not, oh, well, Donovan Mitchell absolutely cannot go. That concussion has kept him off the court. It's, well, you know, I think we've got some time here. So let's manage this time. Rudy Gobert with the calf strain. Oh, we've got some time, so we'll manage this. You know, so we are absolutely seeing time and player management. And you're right, it's got to work out. Otherwise, you look back and you're like, well, that was a crappy stretch.
Yep.
Losing 12 of 14 or, you know, maybe you get into losing 15 of 17 or 18, because that's probably what we're going to be looking at, you know, when you get through Phoenix a couple of times and back through Golden State and Memphis. Maybe you throw a Minnesota win in there coming up in a few days, but this thing's stacked against them.
This stretch is brutal starting tonight.
But if management works, then we all look back and we say, see how little that mattered?
There we go.
That didn't matter.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Show brought to you by You First Credit Union for over 65 years. They've been a part of your community, and while the name might be changing, their commitment is not. Find out more at youfirstcu.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is Unripe.
Guys are doing a hell of a job.
Here's what is great about what George Kliavkov said. I love the brutal honesty. I mean, if you can't look at a situation and assess it and call it what it is and say what it is, you're never going to improve. If you're constantly putting a Band-Aid on it and say, no, we're in a good spot. We'll just, you know, just give us another year. Just give us, you know, it's a building year, you know, but man, next year things are going to be good. Next year never comes around. And when you can come out and make a very clear, very bold, very accurate, and very honest statement, that's really kind of the first step to, like, making change.
Is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com. Don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's another edition of What You May Have Missed, all brought to you by Built Bar. Get a Built Bar in you. Double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, cherry barcia, salted caramel. Whatever flavor you're looking for, enjoy Built Bar. 100% real chocolate, 100% real delicious.
Get 10% off your order using promo code ZONE at checkout. That's Built Bar.
100% delicious, man.
Yes.
Those Built Bars are so good, and they give you that protein you need to feel a little bit full throughout the day. So, Scotty, it's that time of year, bud. Tom Brady coming back. It never fails. It never fails. Season ends for Tom Brady. Season ends for Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady coming back? Is Aaron Rodgers going to be with Green Bay?
Why
wouldn't Tom Brady come back?
Well, I mean,
he threw for 5,400 yards or something crazy like that.
So he can walk out knowing he had one of the biggest comebacks, even though it didn't result in a playoff win. Remarkable comeback, a gutty performance, bleeding out on the field. It made it seem like he was bleeding out of his eyelids, for crying out loud. And just came up a little bit short. And then you avoid the season where it's just like, ew, it's left him, you know? Like, to me, I think he should have, frankly, retired after last year. You know, you won a Super Bowl, you run out on top. It can only go downhill from here, honestly. I mean, the dude's going to be, what, 45, 46 next year?
Yeah, 45. What's hard for me is he's the last playing that I know of. He's the last player remaining in the NFL that was there when I was there.
There's probably some random kicker out there. But
There might be. Yeah, you're absolutely right. There might be.
But 40, I think we're underestimating how miserable his marriage is.
What?
It must be.
For him to keep coming back?
For him to keep coming back. It must be the most miserable marriage.
Oh. It can't be. It can't be.
There was a stand-up comedian who did a bit on players crying at their retirement. And they're like, they're not crying because they're leaving the game. They're crying because they're looking at their wife like, I have to go home to her every day.
Oh, man, that's terrible. Oh, man, that would be
tough. I wasn't going to go that far.
Which isn't true. I'm not saying that. It was just a
comedian.
Joke. And it's Giselle, for crying out loud. It should be fine.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's a pretty good consolation prize right there.
Which is why he should have went out last year.
I know. I would have retired like 8 years ago. She's got more money than me. And I'm never going to make that up. I'll never be more popular than my wife, and I'll never make more money than her.
Which is fine.
The only thing you can say to Giselle is, yeah, but do you have Super Bowl rings, honey? No. I've got Super Bowl rings. She's got everything else on you.
Have you ever understood, like, a man being threatened by a woman making more money than him in a marriage?
Not in the slightest.
Who in their right mind would be threatened by that, for crying out loud? I would welcome that.
I would. It would be an honor.
It would be. I would love going to the tax man and saying, yeah, here's our W-2s. And he's like, wow, she really kicked your butt. And I'm like, I know.
Yes, she
Isn't
did.
It great?
I'm not even kidding. I'd love to build a float and put it in the city parade that says my wife makes more money than me. I would.
Yeah.
And I'd parade her right down the middle of Main Street if that was the case. So Tom should embrace it, be proud of it.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a little bit worried, though. Like, he drops out of the spotlight and, you know, I don't know if he just loves the limelight or if he wants to set numbers that will never be attained ever again.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already done that. Nobody's going to win seven Super Bowl rings ever again.
He will always be known as – that's the thing. The only thing he can do is have that is lose a little bit of luster by coming back for another year, because eventually it's going to catch up with him. He's going to, you know, get hurt in the middle of the year. The interceptions are going to pile up. But
Scotty, as far as you're concerned with wanting to come back, like, we all want him to come back, correct?
Yeah.
I want him to come back because you and I are aging right along with him.
I know.
And we're watching him continue to do it. And it's like, see, we're not that old yet. It's, you know, why am I forgetting the quarterback, the Jets quarterback that tried to kiss Susie Colbert?
Joe Namath.
So I remember, like, watching Joe Namath when I was young and then seeing Joe Namath age, and now Joe Namath now, it's like, oh, boy, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
Like, you know, watching Joe Namath age.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch Tom Brady age.
I know.
I don't want to see, you know, watching Brett Favre age.
Yeah.
Or one that you're close to, John Elway.
You see John Elway these days. Those years have not been kind to him.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm watching Jeff Saturday, who does the – he's on ESPN, and he was an old Colts center and a pretty good buddy of mine when I was with the Colts. I'm watching him age every day on TV. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting old. Yeah. But watching Tom Brady keep doing it, it's like, see, we're still young.
I see your point.
We're still young, man. Yeah. He's 45 out there next year. I hope he's back. My gut tells me he's not going to be.
I'm with you on this. I agree with you.
My gut tells me he's not going to come back.
And that's the other thing, too. Tom Brady's watching that game. You know, look, he's done. He's probably on the plane. They probably have the little TV monitors on the plane. And he's watching Mahomes and why am I spacing the Buffalo Bills quarterback's name?
Allen.
Josh Allen. I had Trevor Allen stuck in my head. I'm like, no, I don't think Trevor can sling it quite like that. And he's watching those two dudes just go at it. He's like, I'm too old for this stuff. You know, like, there's probably a realization. Watch that.
There was some incredible quarterback.
He goes, I can't keep up with these dudes anymore.
And those dudes weren't just doing it in the pocket.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford probably took 60 yards with it. Josh Allen probably took 60 yards with his own feet.
Yeah, and then, you know,
in that single drive.
In that first quarter, you saw Mahomes with a 40-yard run down the field.
Off a scramble.
By the way, injury report tonight, no Mike Conley, right knee injury maintenance, no Rudy Gobert, no Donovan Mitchell. maintenance. Bojan Bogdanovic, Joe Ingles with a right ankle sprain.
Bojan's out?
No.
Oh.
Bojan, Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, all questionable. Royce dealing with right knee tendonitis.
So Royce is out?
Is questionable.
Oh.
So Conley, Gobert, Mitchell out. Bojan, Ingles, Royce O'Neal, questionable.
Well, luckily it's against the Suns, and you know they don't put anything out on the court.
That should be fine. Katie's hanging out with us. Katie, how are you?
Good. I find it fascinating that they're listing Bojan as questionable for his finger strain and not that knee hit from last night.
I know, right?
Like, he's had that finger in a little brace there for a long time, guys. Like, we're not going to talk about the elephant in the room, but he banged knees pretty good.
That looked like a pretty bad bang.
The games we play in terms of injuries, it's rather interesting. But you guys aren't messing around. You're not playing any games down here. You're saving people cold, hard cash down here.
We are. And whether you're looking to buy a home, sell a home, refinance a home, we're here to help save you money. If you need insurance for your home or your car, we can help you save money there too. We're here to help save money. And in fact, since we began in 2015, we've helped people save over $120 million in commissions. So we don't mess around over here.
It's incredible to watch. And I love to see that number grow. The 2021 numbers were shocking. You know, I'm shocking in the amount, but not shocking that it actually happened. So I want to start with this. Homie, when they first jumped into the market, Homie came in and started helping people sell homes. And that's where they really started to save the money, selling homes, posting on an MLS and getting the photos and coming out, presenting the home and helping you with all the people in the walkthroughs and coming in to check out things and helping with paperwork. They're still doing that, and they're doing it better. And now you guys are offering $500 off a $3,500 list fee to sell the home. So people can sell their home for $3,000. Is that right, Katie?
That's right. And that includes, you know, the sign, the lockbox, the professional photography. It also includes a 3D tour. A lot of people, especially, again, we're coming back into, unfortunately, another height of COVID time.
Yeah.
And so there's people that are a little bit hesitant to go out and to look at homes. You can look at it through a 3D tour. If you're not sure that that's the home you want to tour, guess what? We've got a 3D tour built into the house for you.
Okay, so I want to really stress this part. I want everybody to listen very carefully to this because I think it gets dismissed too much when you hear the name Homie. I think people think, oh, well, yeah, but they don't put the time and attention into the details. No. You get more time and more attentions because Homie has streamlined the process. They've got the best agents. They give you the most time. They put all their time and effort into it because they're not sitting back waiting for 6%. You know, they want to get this home sold. They want to help you in every way they can to get it sold. And I love the fact that it's – and you think about the volume that Homie does. I want people to think about this. They sell so many homes that they become streamlined. And just watching the process my parents went through to sell their home and how streamlined it was, the professionalism across the board. Katie, people get more for $3,000 than if they did pay the traditional 3% on the sale or the full 6% that's traditional sales agents.
Yeah, and they have a dedicated agent that's so experienced. They've been doing this all the time. Your traditional agent generally gets about 5 closings a year is generally what people say. And our agents are doing so much more that they are so experienced in this current market. They know exactly what to do to make sure that your home's priced the right way, or to make sure that the offer you're putting in to buy a home is going to be accepted.
And they've got a huge team to help too.
Yeah, we do.
Go to Homie.com for more information. That's Homie.com, H-O-M-I-E.com. Let's go. 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Big T joins us next.